the whole area.
So we are beginning our class in Navi. We were up to the story of Shoftim. We had learned how Micha sets up this temple with his idol, with his trophim, with his... We discussed how the trophim were made, slaughtering a firstborn, salting the skull. We discussed the zodiac and the way he set up his molten figurine and idol. Then we discussed how the smoke from his altar in the temple of Micha would go up and mix with the smoke of the offerings of Shiloh. And Hashem witnesses all this and doesn't say a word. Lecha Hashem atzdakah v'lanu boshet apanim. Look at how pious Hashem is. He sees all of this. The offerings that are offered to Shamayim, their smoke mixes with the smoke of a pagan idol worshipping Micha's temple. And Hashem keeps supporting the Jewish people. He keeps giving us success after success. And this is a great shame to the Jewish people, that people did not stand up. No one put up a fight. And on the contrary, as we are about to learn, the tribe of Dan is going to adopt the idols of Micha as their idol. Now the tribe of Dan, we encountered, they are the final tribe to have representation in the Jewish leadership. Remember, we discussed in the beginning of the book of Shoftim how tribe after tribe would have a leader as the Shofate. Different Shoftim, each one came from a different tribe. We began with Othniel ben Kenaz from Judea, and then we went on, one after another, from the different tribes, until finally we reached the tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan are the ones whose territory border, they are one of two tribes whose territories border the Philistines. So they are sandwiched between Benjamin on the east. If you take the northern tip of the Yam HaMelech, you go westward, you first hit Jerusalem, and then you continue westward. You continue westward, and you have, today they're going to call it the Philistine Strip, okay, the Gaza Strip. But this whole strip was Philistines in the days of Judges. Now, Philistines and Palestinians, they took on that name. But in fact, so this whole area, Ashdod, Ashkelon, etc., were Philistine cities. You go eastward, so you come to the cities of Tzara, Eshtaol. You come to the cities near Beit Shemesh, which are going to be cities of the tribe of Dan. So the tribe of Dan had the final shofate in the book of Judges, Shimshon, right? And now the tribe of Dan wants to expand their territory. So they send five representatives from Tzara and Eshtaol. Remember these two large cities of Tzara and Eshtaol, where Samson and Shimshon would frequent. And they send them northward to spy out the land. So they're traveling northward. They come to the mountainous region of Ephraim. They come into the temple of Micha. They see the young Levite there. They recognize him. They say, "How'd you get here?" And he tells them, "Here's what goes on with Micha. I'm his priest." So they say, "Okay, ask the God. Are we going to succeed or not?" So he doesn't ask the God because he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe in this idol. When people would come and offer sacrifices, he would eat them. He wouldn't give it to the idol. He'd say, "Why are you guys wasting your money? Keep your money." And they'd say, "Okay, just give him a little bit of the fruit or vegetable or this food that I cooked." He would say, "If you insist," and then he'd take it and eat it himself. So he tells them, "May Hashem give you success." And they don't catch the hint. They say, Hashem will be with you. They travel northward. They travel north of the Kinneret, to a place called Laish. If you look at your maps, you'll see Laish is all the way up north where the Jordan actually begins. The Jordan begins right there near Laish, and from there goes down to the Kinneret and then continues downward to Yam HaMelech. So they travel up there to a place called Laish. And they come and they see the people are sitting there calmly. They have no army. They're a peaceful nation. They have no one who's going to start up with them. And they have no peace treaty with any other nation. They come back south to the cities of Tzara and Eshtaol, of Dan, and they tell them, "Guys, it's easy. Excellent land, luscious land, because you have the water right there. and it's an easy win because the nation is in confidence that no one's going to bother them. The land is broad, and Hashem's given it to us. We're missing nothing there. We got everything we need there. So from the families that were living in Tzarah and Eshtaol, there were 600 families that wanted to get different territory. They travel northward. They're traveling north. They pass Kiryat Yarim. You guys probably noticed Kiryat Yarim as you leave Jerusalem. Today it's called Telstone. The yeshiva of Tels wanted to build a yeshiva there, so it became known as Telstone, Kiryat Yarim. And they camp there, and they continue heading northward to the mountainous region of Ephraim. And the five spies, they tell them, do you guys know that right here, the area we're passing, there's a temple, and there are fascinating idols there? Come with us. So they bring the whole army with them. And the five spies walk into Yonasan's house. And they ask him how he's doing. And they walk into the temple. They take all the idols that are there. And Yonasan is watching. He looks at them. And he looks at the army. And he looks back at them. And he looks back at the army. And he doesn't say anything. So after they've taken everything, he says, what you guys doing? So they tell him, shh, come with us. You could be the priest of a whole tribe. Why do you want to be a priest for one family? You could be a priest for our tribe up north. So he says, okay. So he personally takes the idols that they're stealing from Micha, and he doesn't linger behind. He stands in the middle of the armed forces. And they start traveling. And ordinarily when an army travels, so the natural thing is that the children and the cattle linger behind. Because if you're in peaceful territory, the children and the cattle go more slowly. And if you're forging forward, so you want the army in the front. But here they're in Jewish territory and the threat is from behind. Micha could show up, right, from behind. So right now they recognize the threat, and they travel, and they put the children and cattle up in front, which makes it much harder to travel. As they're traveling, Micha gets wind of what happened, and his family and he get all upset, and they start chasing after the tribe of Dan. And they call out, hey guys, what you doing? So the tribe of Dan turns around innocently and they say, what you getting all upset about? So Micha says, you took my God. You took my Kohen. Look at how ridiculous. He's not embarrassed. You took my God. Yeah. You took my Kohen and you left me. What'd you leave me? What do you mean, what am I getting all upset about? So they said, look, I don't think you want to talk so loudly because there are people here who could get real upset. Now remember, they're on their way to war, so everyone's walking around with their swords drawn and their shields out. And they say, it would be a real pity if you and your family would find yourselves dead. And then they continue traveling. So here we see two terrible things. We see that the tribe was willing to adopt an idol, and we see that they were willing to steal from a fellow Jew. And they were basically saying, look, we're stronger, so you're not gonna stop us. And he did not feel like he could turn to anyone. You see, they got away with it. He couldn't turn to any other court. And what's worse with the fact that they got away with it is that a whole tribe or a large section of the tribe can set up a temple of idol worship in their territory and the rest of Israel is silent. And in heaven, this got Hashem very upset. So Micha sees he has no choice. He goes back home. The 600 families go northward. They attack. They conquer the city, they burn it, and they settle the city, and they rename the city Dan. And they established that idol at the Chatzbani, at the beginning of the Jordan River, and they established Yehonasan, the son of Gershon, the son of Menashe, that his family should be the priests, and they were there till the people were exiled. And the Navi reiterates the same scary line, there was no king in Israel. And the Navi leads us into another story. And the Navi will conclude the book of Shoftim with the terrible story of the concubine on the hilltop. Our tradition is that these two stories actually happened earlier. The Navi didn't want to begin the book of Judges with these two stories, but it says in Seder Olam Rabbah that actually these two stories happened earlier. These two stories happened in the very beginning of the book of Judges. Chronologically, that's when it occurred, but the Navi didn't want to begin with terrible stories, so he left them for here. So our story begins with another Levite who lives in the mountainous regions of Ephraim. And he has a concubine. What's a concubine? A woman who agrees that she wants to be living with a man. And they're going to continue living together until one of them wants to leave. And then they end their relationship without paying dues. Meaning there's no ksuba. There's no contract that obligates payment if they decide to break their relationship. So in those days, they were... something was different about them physically. I don't know exactly what. But the Talmud says that they were very careful that the men and the women would shave the hair, their pubic hair. And if they did not shave the pubic hair, so then men could get castrated from it. There are still congregations in Israel till today that the women will shave that hair. He was with his Pilagesh, and he found that she let a hair grow, and she endangered him from getting castrated, so he got very upset at her. And so they had a fight, and she left. She went to her father's house, to Beit Lechem in Judea. And the way the story plays itself out, it certainly doesn't seem like he is such a fine person. And for whatever reason, our sages say he is a fine person. So as we read the story, we have to bear in mind that Chazal give us a perspective that is counterintuitive. Chazal say that he was actually a very pious person, this husband. So he was an extraordinarily fine person. And when he told the Pilegesh, we never learn her name, that he's upset at her, so she gets upset at him, and she packs her bags and goes to her father's house, and she's there for 4 months. And after 4 months, like any good husband, he comes to her, even though, from what we know, the Navi portrays it that she was in the wrong. The Navi words it that she was unfaithful to him. The Navi doesn't tell us what she did wrong. The Navi says she was unfaithful. So the Navi blames her for the fight. You would think maybe he was too tough with her, maybe he wasn't nice to her. The Navi doesn't say that. The Navi says she was improper. And even though she was improper, he went to her to placate her and bring her back home. So he comes with his lad and he brings a pair of donkeys and she brings him home to her father's house. And she's a young girl. Her father's very happy that he's there. And he spends 3 days there, even though that wasn't necessarily his intent. He tries to keep everyone happy. He eats with them. He drinks with them. Maybe her father wanted to see that things were peaceful between them before he sends her back. And on the fourth day, they get up bright and early, ready to go. And her father says, why don't you eat a good meal and then you'll leave? So he doesn't want to argue with his father-in-law. So he sits down to eat a meal with him. And then her father says, do me a favor, spend one more night here, you'll feel good. And the guy says, no, I gotta go. And his father-in-law begs him. And again, you see the patience of this man. Even though this was not his intention, he's willing to burn another day to make his father-in-law happy. He gets up bright and early on the next day. And he's ready to go. And again, his father-in-law comes in and says, have a good meal. Why don't you wait a little bit? The sun will come out the way it should. So he doesn't want to fight with his father-in-law. A very patient man. He sits and eats with him. And he gets up to go. And his father-in-law says, look, it's getting late already. Spend another night here. Look at how late it is. You guys will have a good night here. You'll feel well. You'll get up early tomorrow and go. And the man doesn't want to. And he gets up to leave. And his father-in-law begs. And he says, no, we got to go. Enough. And so he leaves. And they're traveling. And it gets dark. And this is where we'll pick up in Zad Hashem next week.